The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
This morning, in our voyage together through the 59 Lojong slogans, which has been going on for more than 2 weeks now, we came to our final point, our final section. And this one, as you'll recall, is living with ease in a crazy world. Yeah, and our world got a little crazier tonight. Or the craziness that's always in our world manifested itself in a way that was more evident to us than usual. This is Norm Fisher's title, Living with Ease in a Crazy World, but I really like it because it captures the sense that our world is never going to be well ordered, and no matter what we do, it's never going to be unflawed. It's always going to show some seams. It's always going to be unpredictable, or in a word, crazy. And there's no way to keep the crazy out. When I was reading over a couple of the expositions of this, this song came into my head that my dad used to sing to us with us five when we were little kids. And I have no idea why he used to sing it. I don't know what brought it on. But Dad loved to sing, and we loved to hear him sing. And we love this song, and I'll try to sing it the way he did, although I'm not sure about the tune. But it was, lock the door, they're coming through the windows. Shut the windows, they're coming through the door. And this really sort of captures it, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, there you are with your back against the door, but it's the windows. No, and then you run to the windows and the door flies open. And you can't keep the craziness of this world out. And you can't keep it out in monasteries, and you can't keep it out in hermitages, and you can't keep it out in desert retreats, and you can't keep it out here. And there's all kinds of stories about hermits and monks that are visited by demons, and this is an expression of the fact that you can't keep the craziness of the world out, no matter where you go. And so there's wonderful stories about, we've been talking about Tibetan Buddhism, and wonderful story about Milarepa, when a bunch of demons just move in with him. And there are countless such stories. Jesus, when he spent his 40 days in the wilderness, had regular visits from Satan. The Buddha, when he sat under the Bodhi tree, on the night of his great awakening, had visits all night from the demon Mara, who was appearing in various guises. And we in our Boundless Way Temple have been visited by viruses. And that's the form that the craziness has taken here. And some of us have had these viruses, and they affect us all differently. And Esther, who just left, she had it first, and everyone seems to have one really bad day or night, and Esther's, I think, was first. I had a really bad day the first day I had to leave here and go to Boston College, and I felt very weak. And Mike will remember, I asked him to ring the bell up and down the stairs because I didn't know if I would make it. I was afraid I'd fall down the stairs. And yet I drove to work, and I did what I had to do to start my classes, or rather keep them going. Those were not memorable classes, I think. Melissa had her bad day where she had to go into urgent care and be taken care of. And now David's having his bad day. So, living at ease in a crazy world. How do we do this? And we looked at a couple of the slogans this morning. And today I thought I would look at just one. And this one is, be patient either way. Or if you prefer, be patient either way. That's not what it means, by the way. It doesn't mean be patient whether you say either or either. But it's just be patient. We'll say either way. And let me read you two brief expositions, as I sometimes like to do, one from the tradition of Tibetan teaching in America and one from our friend Norman Fisher, who gives the Zen spin to it. And so the Tibetan commentators call this one, this is a more literal translation from the Tibetan, whichever of the two occurs, be patient. Whichever of the two occurs, be patient. And Pema Chodron, in her brief comment, says, whatever happens in your life, joyful or painful, and it turns out those are the two, joyful or painful, do not be swept away by reactivity. Be patient with yourself and don't lose your sense of perspective. So not grin and bear it, but either way, know that this will change. Know that and be patient in both conditions. And here is Norman Fisher. I'll just read you a couple sentences from him. He says, be patient either way. We've already contemplated the importance of the practice of patience or forbearance, which is not resignation or passivity, but instead a strong endurance that has the effect of making us stronger and wiser. Either way reminds us that we have to practice patience not only when things are tough, but also when they are not. If things go well, be patient, they'll change. If things go badly, be patient, they'll change. Don't get caught in your complacency when things are going well. And this reminds me of a kind of cryptic line, cryptic to me until now, in one of the many readings in our sutra books. And I think this is from Tego Bobo, but I won't swear to it. And it's in this little list, in Days of Lightning, and it's in this little list of pieces of advice. And one of them is, don't become overjoyed. Don't become overjoyed. Be patient either way. When happiness comes, you know, appreciate it. But don't become overjoyed. And you know, when I was contemplating a bit the way that Norman Fisher talks about this, you know, when bad things happen, be patient, they'll change. When good things happen, be patient, they'll change. I realized too that this slogan is talking about two of the three poisons that came up this morning. And these are the ones that are called greed and anger, but I prefer to call them in the boundless way fashion, clinging and aversion. So when you're happy, don't cling to it. When bad things are happening, don't turn from that. Don't aversion literally means turning away. So don't turn away. Sometimes we say turn towards, and once someone pointed out in a Dharma dialogue, well, you know, that's kind of reactive in its own way. And I really heard that. And so it's not a turning towards. It's a not turning away. It's just be with this, be with that, as yet another of our readings tells us. So this is not a recommendation of humorlessness. And I really want to emphasize that because it might sound that way. Just keep an even keel. Don't get too happy. Don't get too sad. It doesn't say anything about that, about not feeling the happiness fully. Yeah, don't become giddy. And I think that's what don't become overjoyed is. Don't become giddy. But when you're happy, really be happy. And when you're sad, really, really be sad. And you know, I'm reminded of the koan, the great koan, where one of Dongshan's students says, when the cold and the heat visit us, what shall we do? And imagine a monastery in China and how cold it would have been in winter. Think of this temple if we didn't have heating, and how hot it must have been in summer. We've been here in summer in July, Sushin, and been really hot. But that was with air conditioning and fans doing what they could. Imagine if you didn't have those. And of course, the heat and the cold are also what we're talking about tonight. The good things and the bad things, and the happiness and the sadness. And Dongshan says, go to the place where there is neither heat nor cold. And the student says, where is the place where there's neither heat nor cold? And the teacher says, when it's hot, let the heat burn you to death. When it's cold, let the cold freeze you to death. So this is not keeping an even keel. That's not what be patient either way means. And if you ever are checking out a Zen center or Zen temple and people are never laughing, this is not a good sign. I was at such a place in my youth, my 18th year, San Francisco Zen Center, which is now a wonderful place. And it had been a wonderful place just a year and a half before, but then Shunryu Suzuki died a year and a half before I got there, and the kinds of problems that almost led to it imploding, and that led to Shunryu Suzuki's successor, Richard Baker, being asked to leave in disgrace after he was abusing money and abusing students, and it was already there. And I didn't understand it, I didn't know what it was, but I really sensed it. And he had set up an extremely hierarchical system. And everyone was fighting just to go up a rung in the hierarchy and not fall down a rung. And all the wonderful earlier students who had studied with Shunryu Suzuki, like Ed Brown and like Norman Fisher, who didn't really study with Shunryu Suzuki, but was of that generation, and Blanche Hartman and Philip Whalen and others. They were kept out of they were shunted aside. It was like the eldest prince that has all the younger princes sent to the Happy Valley, so that his rule won't be threatened. And what I'm coming around to is that this was such a grim place. Oh my gosh. Nobody smiled. People gritted their teeth. People frowned at me. And I was this 18-year-old kid who just wanted to come study the Dharma with a Sangha. And the older, the ones, when you passed, when Ed Brown came through for a few days, he would smile at you. And you would hear him laughing with somebody. Philip Whalen hung around in the library and you heard him laughing with Tommy Dorsey, who was irrepressible, but all of the students in the hierarchy, the ones that were running the show, very grim. And it got to a point where I thought, if these are bodhisattvas, I don't want to be one. And that's not what you want to convey in your Zen practice. The bodhisattva is patient either way, but not humorless, not bland. And the bodhisattva cries sometimes. And the bodhisattva really laughs sometimes. And yet, no clinging to that laughter, no need for it to keep going on. No aversion to those tears, no turning away from them. And a knowledge that there's going to be a time when they dry up. And things will be okay for a while, and only for a while. And so tonight, we're in our period of concern, and we're sad to have these empty seats at the head of the Zendo. I'm sad to have my beloved teachers gone, even for one evening, because I've been learning so much from them. And I worry about my old teacher, David. And we'll be okay. I didn't know who would be here tonight, and in through the door came three wonderful bodhisattvas who are all, well-seasoned people of the way, Paul and Mike and Ray came back. And, you know, this is all we need. So let's enjoy together this precious evening of practice. Thank you.